You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
At some point a couple of weeks ago, I did promise that we would have this particular conversation with my next guest, and that is the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments, Chantel Marks. I promised we'd take a look at some of the mid-cap stocks that we have on the JSE, as well as some stocks that didn't perform as well as we would have expected to. So we're going to be taking a look at that and evaluating the performances of some of the other counters on the JSE against some of the standout performers like the mining sector and the financial services sector. Joined on the line by Chantel to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Chantel, always lovely catching up with you, especially at this time of the year. It's been quite the year for markets locally and internationally, and you would think that everybody would have had a good year. I remember having a chat with Niels Brink of a PSG, and he mentioned that you could pretty much have put your money on anything and you would have made money this year. But that doesn't seem to necessarily be the case for all of the stocks on our JSE.
Yes, so I think when you're looking at the mid caps and small caps, it's very normal to have quite dispersed performances from one year to the next. And we had a few stocks, particularly in the industrial space and in construction, that truly underperformed this year. I mean, that's now on top of the retailers, and specifically the clothing and hardware retailers that have also been quite weak. But there were some surprising names that stood out to me in terms of underperformers, and some I definitely would not have called at the start of the year, or at least I would have thought we would see a recovery by now.
Chantel, what do you think drove the mid-caps to perform differently, or rather to not necessarily have as good a run as some of the other stocks? We know that this mining sector was a bit of an exceptional run this year, but by and large, a lot of the other companies did seem to fare well as well. Where did it change from a mid-cap perspective?
Yeah, so I think what happened this year specifically is that you did have the growth disappointment coming through from South Africa. And in the large cap space, a lot of these companies are very well diversified, or they're quite defensive, and that is not necessarily the case here. And then we've also had some big stories coming out of some of these companies that have really dragged them down. I mean, as an example, with Afrimat, we have started seeing that recovery come through after the Lafarge acquisition. And this is historically a very high quality company with a very strong management team. But that Lafarge drag and the fact that the execution risk really is still there, coupled with an iron ore price or iron ore pricing dynamics that haven't necessarily been favorable for them, has seen that stock underperform. And when you go into any of the other ones, Aspen, for example, big story this year, losing that huge manufacturing contract in France, that would have had an impact on forecasting the manufacturing revenues for the next few years, and by extension, profitability of that division. Another great example would be Metair. Started to look like things were finally going better. Bam, get slapped with a massive fine by the European Commission in the Rombat business. So a lot of it has been specific, and then you haven't had that growth tailwind come through in the way that we would have liked.
Chantel, have any of the companies in the mid-cap space stood out for you for some really good performance? I mean, we know that is often the area where you get some of those surprise moves. Has anything over the year just jumped out at you from a performance perspective, or even from a management perspective?
Oh, we're just going to ignore Pan African Resources, Jimmy.
I was waiting for that.
Yes. So, I mean, obviously Pan African stood out, a great support coming through from that gold price, but also excellent execution in terms of its expansion projects being on time, in budget, at a time where the gold price is rallying. So that would be a standout for me. And then Weaver FinTech, the little stock that could, I see is up 123% so far this year. And Weaver FinTech used to be called Home Choice International. They had the flyers and the little catalogs, and you buy blankets and comforters from your Home Choice agent. And now they are a fintech business. They're a payments company, and they've completely pivoted. So that has been a standout performer. Of course, it isn't very liquid. Unfortunately, I wish it was more liquid, but that would have been a great way in which you can, it's probably a great example of how your kind of main business has a reducing or a smaller addressable market over time, and you pivot into an avenue that you probably didn't expect to do very well, but it's completely transformed that business. And then another standout to me would have been Stadio, up 88% this year, powering on. The demand for quality higher education is there, particularly in the tertiary education space, and these guys are certainly doing a very good job on executing there.
Chantal, do you anticipate that we would see a better 2026 from the smaller midcaps? At some point, surely markets start to pull up other markets as they continue to the upside. It seems as though we're all but still bullish on the 2026 year. Do we expect that bullishness to kind of filter through into the small and medium cap space?
Yeah, so I think at an index level, the retailers will be very important, because that's been a notable area of underperformance for the South African market. And it also makes up a chunky stake in that mid-cap index. So there, I think it's going to be quite important. I think valuations are looking very, very cheap. It's very unlikely that we're going to have another year like this year, just from a base effect perspective. It should already start looking better next year, particularly now that we also have some really nice tailwinds for the consumer with lower inflation, lower interest rates, and I think credit probably becoming a little bit more freely available. And then in terms of the rest, also the big underperformers don't look expensive. I'm just glancing across my list. Togosan, shame man, the online gambling thing hasn't been great for them, but that stock shouldn't be trading on a four times forward PE. And those are the types of multiples that we are looking at. We've also more recently seen some of the hardcore industrials coming out with better results. CUP, I think a couple of weeks ago, put out a pretty decent trading update, has recovered, but it's still 35% down year to date and trading on an 8x forward PE. So I do think that the valuation underpin is there. I think slightly better growth will really help. But yeah, as I mentioned at the start of my answer, yeah, retailers are going to be important at an index level.
If you're just tuning in, we're in conversation with the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments, Chantal Marks. We're taking a look at the performance of some of the other sectors and other companies on the JSE beyond the standout performers that we've seen throughout the year. Chantal, I want to change up a bit of our conversation and take a look at listings throughout the year. The likes of Optasia and Cell C most recently have joined the JSE, and this is off the back of the likes of Boxer and We Buy Cars also joining in recent times. How is this shaping up the overall index? We know that some of these companies might not necessarily join on the top end, might not necessarily hit the top end of their IPO ranges like Optasia managed to do, and some of them then end up in your small to medium cap space. What do you make of the listings throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been quite exciting. Optasia certainly got a lot of attention. I think the quite public move from First Rand to take a stake really helped there. And also you're in a structural growth area with Optasia, because you are looking at financial inclusion, payments, utilizing AI in order to credit score, all the fancy buzzwords. And I think that really helped the stock. I see great growth potential for Optasia going forward. It's a slightly more kind of risky business than what we're used to in financial services. But yeah, I think that there's definitely a space for them, and they are doing great things. Cell C was a little bit disappointing. They actually had to list at a price below their initial offer range. And I think the management team there would have been quite disappointed. Blue Label would have been quite disappointed with that. And I don't necessarily think it's fair. I think it was just it got a little bit chaotic from a global markets perspective around the time that Cell C listed. And perhaps the excitement isn't there because you've got a much more traditional kind of telecoms operator, even though they do things slightly differently and they don't have their own network infrastructure. But yeah, I think that stock certainly offers value. I mean, the Cell C in particular is not that big. Optasia is slightly bigger. I'm sure that it will have a positive impact on the mid-cap index once it's I think investors become more comfortable with seeing it across their screens. You've seen, once we've seen a few results releases and the kind of hype settles down and it probably grows a little bit into the valuation, which was, as we mentioned, at the top end of the range. And hopefully the same is true for Sol-C, in that it will re-rate to a more reasonable forward PE or PE rating once we start seeing them deliver the goods as they promised. I think in terms of next year, it's going to be another very exciting year from a listing perspective. We've got two big secondary listings probably coming with MultiChoice and now Canal Plus, as well as the Coca-Cola story with Coca-Cola HBC having purchased Coca-Cola Bottling Africa with an agreement to list on the JSE. And then I think probably quite early in the year, we could get Fidelity, which I think is also going to be interesting, and something completely new to the index. And those will be big listings. So I think you'll see big market cap companies coming, potentially some of them into the top 40 as well. And that should also shake things up.
Chantal, does that then mean that you're seeing a lot more value plays going into next year? You touched on the fact that some of these companies are trading at cheaper valuations now because of the performance throughout the year. Are you still finding good value stocks, and is it still worthwhile to potentially look forward to some of these listings that you've alluded to going into the new year, understanding that, of course, a newly listed company versus a company that has a proven record on the JSE, those share prices tend to perform differently, but we're not seeing that divergence as much in 2025 as we have in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a strange year. It's definitely been a stock picker's market as well. You would probably not in the South African sense as much as anywhere else, but I think it's going to become even more important into next year. We've had this massive rally in the gold stocks that sustained the index quite a bit. If you've been underweight gold, you've been probably underperforming. If you've been overweight gold, you're probably a little bit irresponsible. But I mean, do we see the gold price going much further than $4,300 an ounce? It could still go up, but probably the easy money has been made there. And it also depends on how long that kind of gold price sticks at that level. And then do we actually adjust long-term expectations for the gold price? But outside of that, the rest of our market really hasn't been that strong, or the rest of the stocks haven't been that strong. And I mean, we've mentioned quite a few SA Inc. names, and that lag is there, despite the fact that bond yields have come down, which should technically result in these businesses trading at higher valuations. So yeah, I mean, I think that there's loads still to like going into next year, but it will be, I think, an SA Inc. story, and hopefully a retail story as well.
Lots to like going into 2026, especially from SA Inc. and its potential. We'll see how that shapes up, and we'll definitely catch up early in the new year. For now, I would like to just thank Chantal for all her insights and contributions throughout the year, and for joining us for this conversation to reflect on some of the big moves and some of the interesting moves that we may have missed whilst we were busy focusing on the mining companies. Chantal Marx, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, joining us to reflect on small and medium caps listings and valuations.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.